You know what it is? It's like I've got all of this stuff to do and lots of it, but like you're procrastinating whatever, and then yeah.
That's why you're able to record a fantasy football podcast in the middle of your working week.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast. And what can I say? It was a downpour at Old Trafford over the weekend, but it was also raining points, Lumen. I'm of course joined by my friend Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, you were the one, whilst that it was raining points, collecting them up with a massive bucket and just you were swimming in points by the end of it. Congratulations, firstly, because our title race is certainly over, as is the almost inevitable conclusion of the Premier League title, although there is still a tiny glimmer of hope. But our different corner, pretty much a head-to-head, it's only been me and you in this league, is over. What was the points difference? You said something like 200 points.
No, not 200.
No?
Close to 200. We're talking now 175.
Oh my gosh. So congratulations, Lumen. How are you feeling after game week 37, the penultimate game week of the season?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think in the entertainment world, in recent years, they've done all of these festivals and, like, you know, they long it out where, you know, before they might have had a one-off event or, like, you know, three-day event. But recently, you know, they last several weeks. Like, you know, for example, in Saudi Arabia, they've got the Riyadh season and they've got all of these entertainment events, and part of it is sporting events, and they've got the big fight this weekend as part of Riyadh season. And I've had a Lumen season where I've played four of my chips in 4 weeks. That's been the season for me. And whilst half the first 2 weeks of the season didn't go as great as I'd hoped, the second 2 weeks of the season have been absolutely fantastic. My wild card last week, 111 points when the average was 71. And my bench boost this week, 150 when the average was 83. Yeah, it's good. So the big one for me was Josko Gvardiol. The guy has been in absolute form. Since game week 23, 12 points, 6 points, 15 points, 6 points. And then this game week 37, 21 and 6 points, 27 points. If you didn't get him in, you have to ask why. Why would you not get him in? He got points for me. Cole Palmer, you know, Cole Palmer, got me 14 points. Haaland, I captained 30 points. Most people did. Nicholas Jackson, you know, in spite of his reputation, scored another goal, and he is up to 14 goals for the season. Foden got me a goal. Gordon got me a goal, and I was helped out by the Spurs guys. Even though they had a nightmare on Wednesday, they had a home game against Burnley, and the two scorers were both defenders. So Pedro Porro and Van de Ven, I got a massive slice of luck there. But, you know, my bench got me 28 points. I can't be disappointed.
Yeah. When you are bench boosting and you're getting close to 30 points off the bench, it is like, take that away and you're at around 120, which is still incredible. But to get that bench boost, it pushes you to 150. Your game week rank of all the players, this week you're in the 20,000th mark on the whole website. It's like, that's unbelievable. 150 points. Your bench boost really worked out. You captained Haaland, of course, which is, again, you've not been great with your captains this season, but that also worked out for you. In fact, that was the only way you could have done better was Guardiola. And you said, how were you not going to get... You have to ask yourself questions if you didn't get him in. Well, I'm the person who didn't get him in, unfortunately.
But you didn't have a bad week yourself. I mean, against an you didn't have Guardiola, but against an average of 83 points, you got 97 points. You had one transfer, which didn't end up well for you, but it didn't end up well for me either. But you can't be unhappy, right? Or can you?
No, I suppose not. 97, average is 83. I'm above the average. No, I can't be. And actually, I've had a bad season. I've had a really poor season. And 97, it might be my best score this season. Because, 98 was my best score a few weeks ago. And actually, it goes to show why I've not had a good season. I've not hit the triple figure point at any point this season. Whereas you have hit it, three times?
In the last 4 weeks.
Three times in the last 4 weeks. I did well. You know, I got points from Pickford and Branthwaite, even though they're only single gamers. Van de Ven, I brought in on my wild card, 12 points. De Bruyne did get me 2 assists. No bonuses, though, I don't think. Palmer, Haaland, Jackson. Isak was a disappointment. I actually had 12 points on the bench with Havertz and White. But yeah, it wasn't great. I captained Son. And at this point of the season, I said a few weeks ago, I'm just going with my gut rather than what my opponents might be doing. And I really just captained Son because I was in the hope that that would have some sort of magical impact on the universe and Son would score and take some points off Man City. And he was so close. He was so close. I'm not one to say that he fluffed his lines on purpose. I'm not one to say that Spurs didn't try. I am one to say that Spurs fans, some of them, were doing the Poznan in the stadium when Man City scored. And I'm like, oh man, come on, guys. There are levels here now. It just exposed to me. I actually had a bit of credit as an Arsenal fan. I was kind of somewhat looking at Ange and that Spurs team with somewhat respect, actually. But Spurs fans, on the other hand, not so much. Because I thought, wow, you are really just defining yourselves on Arsenal's misery. And I just, where does that leave you as a club, right? But, you know, that's just a whole North London kind of...
No, let's get into this because... you've known me for 28 years. You know I hold myself accountable, right? A couple of months ago on this show, I made a claim. Unbeknownst to me at the time, other people had said it as well. But looks like we all got it wrong. We all got it badly wrong about Spurs being the kingmakers, right? They're not kingmakers. They're bloody Spurs. They are terrible. Spurs are awful. I mean, let's look at this. They have lost 5 of their last 6 games. The one game they've won was against Burnley at home, 2-1.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah.
They're terrible. They're Spurs.
They're actually wild. I was watching, obviously, the Man City Spurs game. They play suicide ball, Lumen. Like, in tight spaces where you think, okay, yeah, I can see what you're trying to do. But my gosh, they just go. They just leave their position and just go. And it's like, what are you doing? I couldn't quite understand it. But obviously it worked to some degree because of all teams, Jamie Carragher said, he's seen Spurs do the most damage to this Man City team. Like, they looked most threatening.
That was more to Man, I think, to a bit of nerves from Man City, you know. I had a feeling it wasn't going to be plain sailing for Man City purely because every game they've had recently, they've won without having to get into, like, first gear. They've cruised it, right? So I thought, you know, historically they've struggled at Spurs, which is a bit weird. And I thought it wouldn't be as plain sailing. And it turned out that way. I wasn't expecting a 3-4, 5-0 hammering, but it comes down to the final game of the season. I wouldn't be too downbeat if I was Arsenal fans. There's still hope. We know this Man City team is a machine. We know in all likelihood they will do it, but there's always hope.
There is always hope. There is always hope. Come on, Jared Bowen. Come on, Kudus. Come on, James Ward-Prowse. I will be forever blowing bubbles if West Ham were to take something from Man City. In all likelihood, it's not going to happen. But nevertheless.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
But we talk about history, right? And I found a fantastic compilation of the last three managers of Spurs absolutely slating the club and everything about it. And it's hard to find a club that has had that many top quality managers slating them. One of my mates, he's a hardcore Spurs fan, and he's moved to Australia out of shame, right? I mean, the guy, he's always taking the mick out. He goes OTT on Liverpool. And, you know, he's always like slagging me off, whatever. And he always likes to have these sly digs, which, you know, none of it makes sense. But one thing I said to him, and he couldn't say anything, he laughed it off, was, right, they have broken Ange Postecoglou, who by universal consensus is one of the more nicer managers. They've broken him.
Yeah.
That's Spurs. Yeah, that's their history.
I certainly got that. Looking into that interview with Ange, he was like head down, eyes averted. It did seem somewhat embarrassed. I don't know. I don't know. He said it was a strange atmosphere in the stadium that day. Is he gone? He can't be gone, surely. After one season.
Well, if he's gone, it will be more to do with if he has any problems with the ownership not backing him. But as far as the fans are concerned, it's a broken relationship there. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Jamie Carragher said that he doesn't know why Ange is being salty, because he would expect fans of other clubs to do that. The difference is they wouldn't be so open about it. If Man United stopped Liverpool from winning the league, and they feel like they've done that, right, they'd be celebrating, and they have, right? But they've not, you'll never walk alone, like, which is effectively what the Spurs fans did doing the Poznan, and that's the difference. And I think that's what's broken Ange.
Yeah, not good. But let's move on from Spurs, because there were some other stories. There was a lot of points. I mean, I said this is the highest average points total of the season with 83. And it's been in the high 70s before, but I don't know if it's been in the 80s. Everyone was feasting. Guardiola, I mean, gosh, just a monster. I think that was like the second highest ever points total for a defender after a game week. Obviously, it was a double, but nevertheless. Points everywhere. And so then we head towards the final game week of the season, Lumen. The final game week, 38 is here. Sunday, everyone will be playing at the same time, of course. How are you feeling about your squad? You're just, I presume, just going to use the final one transfer. You've no more chips either, right?
I'm full. You know, no more chips for me. I'm going on a diet until next season. So for me, I was very strategic. I did my wild card with two things in mind. I did it with a double game week in mind and with the last game week in mind. And I was fortunate that the teams in form had the double game weeks. And there's three teams in particular: Arsenal, Man City, and Chelsea. Now, off the back of that, I've got three Man City players who've got a home game against West Ham. I've got three Chelsea players with home games against Bournemouth. And I've got two Arsenal players with home games against Everton. Rounding it off, I've got two Spurs players with away games against Sheffield United and Isak away to Brentford. So I like the players. I like the fixtures. So in a nutshell, I've only got players from five teams in my first 11, which sounds a bit crazy, right? And the only decision I've got to make is Isak has not done it for me, really. He's not scored in the last two games in the double game week. But, you know, do I take the risk of taking him out and getting in a Michael Olise who is absolutely on fire? Absolutely on fire. I mean, I wasn't paying attention until you told me. But when the guy starts, he does it.
Yeah.
He does it.
He's so good, especially at home. So he's got a home fixture, you said, didn't you? At home to Villa, of course, who are celebrating, who are pretty much on the beach now after that amazing Champions League spot, yeah. Securing it.
There's a couple of other players in contention. So Trossard, he's been doing it, but Everton have tightened up at the back, and I don't know if they're gonna, you know, what if they're gonna carry on in the same vein or not. The big one for me that I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago was Mo Salah. After Mo Salah in the Spurs game showed up, I thought, yikes, I've got to get him in for the final game of the season. You know, home against Klopp, against Wolves, final game for Klopp. He'll do something, but I'll have to take minus points, and I am not in a position to take minus points. You know, with how close it is between me and some of my rivals. I mean, in my work league, I've got a 17-point lead against my manager. I want to finish ahead of him. I cannot afford to. So, yeah, I'm happy all in all. You know, captaincy, I'm going to go with Haaland again, even though Cole Palmer's at home. What about you? Are you happy with your team as going into it?
I actually am happy with the team. I come to this last game of the season somewhat underwhelmed, because you're looking at, and I often look at, obviously they're running the end of the season, who's got something to play for? Unfortunately, all the relegation places are pretty much done. Luton have an absolute astronomical task on their hand to try to overhaul, what is it, 12 goal swings. They've got to win 6-0. Forest have got to lose 6-0 for them to stand a chance of staying in the league. If that happens, that would be unreal, the biggest Premier League story ever. So relegation places are done. Champions League places are done. The title, of course, we know it's one of two teams, but it's almost definitely City. So, yeah, basically, do you bank on Haaland? It's a bit boring for me, but, you know, you've got to pretty much do it, I imagine. And then you look at Europe. Chelsea, Newcastle are still in it. United with an outside chance. So maybe there. That's where you invest. But United are away to Brighton. Chelsea are at home to Bournemouth. So maybe you captain a Cole Palmer captaincy there, maybe. Newcastle are away to Brentford. So actually, of all of them, Chelsea look the nicest if you're looking away from Man City for a captaincy. I would have thought bringing in the captain's armband to Cole Palmer. So let's talk about Cole Palmer, Lumen. I've been hearing a lot of comparisons this week after another an assist in the last two. You know, comparisons with Frank Lampard, comparisons with Eden Hazard, not in terms of style of play, just in terms of output. 22 goals this season, 12 assists.
Sensational. And put it this way, if he's young and if he stays in the Premier League and if he continues like this, then he's got a chance to compete with the greatest fantasy football player of all time in Mo Salah. Right now, Mo Salah's streets ahead of everyone. I mean, whilst we're here, I mean, Mo Salah, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. Mo Salah this season has had a down year, where he's been injured for many games, missing for African Cup of Nations, and yet he's broken the 200-point barrier yet again, and he's the fifth highest scoring midfielder. It's absurd. Absurd. He is the Egyptian king. I mean, you know, some people think, you know, he's on his way down, but if he's still at Liverpool next season, I'm going to have him in. Obviously, he's not been great since his injury. If he starts next season badly, then we can say that the injuries had bigger impact on him than we thought he would. But there's people who've written him off. I haven't. Mo Salah is in there. And Cole Palmer, that's the highest praise I can give, is that if he continues on this trajectory, and it's a big if, because Mo Salah has done it for seven seasons on the bounce, right? And the crazy thing is, 205 points, his other points returns, 231, 233, 239, 259, 265, and in his first season he got 303. It is ridiculous.
It does come down to that injury, though. You said he's not been the same, and I'm wondering, after a summer break, which Mo Salah does come back. But there's huge question marks over Liverpool as a whole, right? Like,
new manager.
You went through the squad with me yesterday, and how many players need to go.
There's question marks over the entire squad. Jurgen Klopp, took control away from the transfer guys to make his own transfer decisions. That's why those transfer guys left, and they've all come back because Jurgen Klopp is leaving. And one of the guys Jurgen Klopp signed, you know, against better judgment, is Nunez. And the reason why Jurgen Klopp is leaving, imagine coaching Darwin Nunez for 2 years and everything you tell him to do on the training ground, he doesn't do. It will exhaust any man. It's exhausted the most energetic manager out there. Darwin Nunez is the reason why Jurgen Klopp is leaving.
I can't understand how such a phenomenal coach in Jurgen Klopp can identify players so badly. And why he was then also put in charge of that? Like, why?
Well, there's a famous story amongst Liverpool fans, and it's a fact, right? Because Jurgen Klopp's admitted it himself. In the summer of 2017, Jurgen Klopp, we were in the market for the final piece of the jigsaw to complement Mane and Firmino. Jurgen Klopp wanted Julian Brandt. The transfer guys pleaded with him. You have to look at this Mo Salah. You have to look at Mo Salah. And then in the end, Klopp went along with that. But had he not gone along with that, we'd have had Julian Brandt, who I think it's safe to say would not have been on Mo Salah's level.
No. Wow. So you're basically still got a lot of faith in the Liverpool man, of course. In fact, one of the off-season episodes we should do is all about the historical kings of FPL in recent seasons, Salah, Son, De Bruyne, whether we're now seeing the new school come through. But we'll save that for another episode. We have got a last final game week. You're teetering towards maybe a Salah, maybe an Elise.
Or one more that I forgot about, right? Now, this guy massively annoyed me because I bought him in game week 33 as a differential, and he had a home game against Sheffield United and he got me 3 points. So what did I do? I dropped him, right? And in the next four game weeks, granted, he had a 1 point and a 3-pointer, but he also had a 9 and 12 point game week. I'm talking about Brian Mbeumo.
Oh, gosh, yes. Who this week got 12 points, right? Like,
yeah. And he's got a home game against Newcastle.
Against Newcastle. Tricky one. Tricky one. Brentford, nothing to play for. Newcastle with something to play for. But yeah, it's a fair deal. Brentford only lost one game in the last 1, 2, 3, 6, like 8 games or so. Not draws, but still.
If we're talking about something to play for, yes, I've had a good season, but I'm going into the final game of the season clinging on to second place in a couple of leagues. And what I do or don't do will have a massive bearing. Right now, the only question mark is Isak. This is the gamble. If I take him out and he does bits, he's going to do it for my rivals. So I've just thought of something, and I don't know why I didn't think of this before. What I need to do is very simple. I just need to study my rivals and just copy them.
So this is a famous tactic I used on the final game of the season a few seasons ago. It was me in my family league against my brother-in-law, and we were almost neck and neck. I think there's like minimal points in it. And it was like Chelsea at home. And I kind of knew exactly what he was going to do because it was the obvious thing. And I captained obviously you can't look into someone else's team without asking them. But I kind of had an inkling of what he was going to do. So instead of doing what I was going to do, I basically copied him and we almost matched points. And I won it by a few. It was a dirty tactic, but it worked. It worked. This season, I'm not going to be doing that because I'm basically playing catch up. In fact, I'm using my last game week to just do something wild. I'm not going to captain Haaland. I'm going to go. I might captain an Arsenal. Maybe I bring in Bukayo back. Maybe I captain Kai. Maybe, just maybe, I bring in Jared Bowen, captain him, because West Ham and he are gonna bang, and that's how Arsenal are gonna win the league. Oh, maybe, I don't know. Hopefully.
You're just praying you're not getting hammered.
I'm just, yeah, please. And also, of course, Arsenal gotta win, so yeah, let's see. But anyway, game week 38, Lumen, we will be there.
We will be there.